The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
If you care about preserving your God-given, constitutionally protected private property rights, this episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast is for you. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, and today we are celebrating the kickoff of July. We are getting ready to celebrate Independence Day, the day on July 4th, 1776, where the ratification of our Declaration of Independence became official. Our founding fathers declared that the 13 colonies were no longer subject to the monarch of Britain or King George, and were now united, free, and independent states. But what does it mean to be free? What does it mean for you as an individual? And the saying, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, rings true as once again, Americans are called to action to ensure that their constitutional rights are not trampled on by our government. That's what this show is all about today. And we're going to talk and take a deep dive on some important issues related to eminent domain, private property rights, and protecting and safeguarding agricultural land, keeping families on the land to keep our nation free and fed. But first, we have some exciting news to celebrate. It is a historic day in South Dakota. The entire nation is watching and seeing what everyday South Dakotans have accomplished as it relates to safeguarding your private property rights. So officially, as of July 1st, on the day of this recording, South Dakotans who have faced a grueling four-year battle fighting the seizure of their land through eminent domain from proposed carbon sequestration pipeline projects will finally, at long last, have relief knowing that their private property rights are safeguarded against a Green New Deal boondoggle scam as Bill HB 1052 officially becomes law of the land. South Dakota Speaker Pro Tem Carla Lems and Senator Mark Lopke sponsored HB 1052, an act to prohibit the exercise of eminent domain for a pipeline that carries carbon dioxide. In the 2025 legislative session, the bill passed the House of Representatives with a 49-19 vote, and the Senate passed by a margin of 23-12. The bill was signed by Governor Larry Rodin on March 6th. Carla Lems, who is currently running alongside John Hanson to be the next governor and lieutenant governor of the state of South Dakota, says, "At long last, South Dakotans have a say in the business dealings that occur on their own land. Landowners can say yes to a project or simply no thank you. And South Dakota is leading the way in ensuring that corporations, using taxpayer dollars, might I add, cannot stomp on the God-given, constitutionally protected private property rights of individuals." HB 1052 was the culmination of an ongoing landowner rights battle that stemmed from a private company condemning more than 160 properties for a carbon sequestration project. It follows a large outcry from South Dakotans who, let me tell you, it seems like the worst it got for the people of South Dakota, the bigger our victories have been. So let me take you guys back as we just celebrate this historic day, as South Dakotans have gathered together to do the right thing, to stand up for their friends, their families, and their neighbors, and their communities against a big bully with foreign investors. and they have won big. It all started with those 160 plus condemnations, where a private company with the blessing of the government thought that they were entitled to utilize eminent domain for a Green New Deal carbon pipeline scam in order to bury plant food and sequester it permanently, producing nothing, providing nothing to the people, giving no common good other than fleecing the taxpayers of their hard-earned money and reallocating that wealth in order to virtue signal that they were saving the planet. Oh, the insanity to hear this coming out of the mouths of elected officials who were voted on to serve the people and who instead turn their backs on the people in order to serve the big donor class and corporations. So what happened next is quite honestly going to be one of the defining chapters in my life. And it's been such an honor to be a part of it. I'm so grateful and humbled to have just played a small role in this. Even more grateful and humbled by all of the people that I've gotten to meet along the way as this grassroots landowner movement has continued to grow in size, in number, in strength, with passionate everyday citizens saying, enough is enough. I'm going to get off the bench. I'm going to get involved and I'm going to make a difference because this was the stopgate. There was no more passing. There was no more going forward on something like this that was so inherently wrong. That was such a slap into the face of the everyday people of South Dakota who work hard, who pay their taxes, and who are really just interested in raising their families, building their businesses, being a part of a community, and quite frankly, don't want to have to worry about a boogeyman in their backyard taking something that they feel that they are entitled to. And so what happened next was quite phenomenal. It was the 2024 legislative session, and a bill called SB 201 was introduced. That bill, which was dubbed the Landowner Bill of Rights by the establishment politicians in Pierre, South Dakota, actually stripped away local control and consolidated authority to three members of the Public Utilities Commission. This bill was so egregious and so served this corporation and these pipeline companies that the people of South Dakota said, absolutely not, not on my watch. So what happened next was an activation of everyday people who had quite frankly probably never testified on a bill before, never been a part of a referendum process, never had taken part of the political process until the wolf was in their pastures. So SB 201 was passed, and it was just such a devastating feeling to see the power structures, the power players at B turn their backs on the everyday citizens. But South Dakotans got to work. In 90 days, they were required to get 17,500 signatures in order to refer that law and get it onto the ballot for the November 2024 elections. In 90 short days, 500 unpaid volunteers on their own time and their own dime collected 38,000 signatures, double the required amount of signatures to get that bill on the ballot. That bill was renamed RL 21, Referred Law 21, on the ballot. And again, those volunteers went town to town putting on forums. You probably saw many of these forums live streamed on my Facebook page. We didn't have the money. We ended up raising through pie auctions and small $10 and $20 donations from, again, everyday citizens. We raised about $225,000. Our adversaries, the big guns, spent over $3 million from just seven major entities. So we were outspent, outgunned, and yet the people of South Dakota went and told the story over and over again, and the voters of South Dakota listened and agreed. And RL 21 was rejected overwhelmingly by the people with a 59% vote in 65 of 66 counties. Now, that's not all. That bill then catapulted major change happening in Pierre, South Dakota. We voted out 12 of the dirty dozen, as I like to call them, 12 legislators who were up for re-election who had voted for SB 201, RL 21. We kicked them out. We voted them out. We sent them into early retirement, and we replaced them with true servant leaders who mean what they say, who stand for private property rights, who stand firm by the Constitution, and had promised to serve we, the people of South Dakota. So with that massive change in the legislative body in Pierre, which was described as an avalanche, an earthquake, a hurricane of epic proportions that had never been seen before, we then had a leadership vote happen in Pierce, South Dakota. And not only did we take the House and the Senate, but we then had full leadership control on both chambers of people who had stood strong within the landowner fight, standing for private property rights. And so huge victories happening in that regard with a leadership change, which then brought us to this year's legislative session. In 2025 legislative session happened. A great bill was introduced called HB 1052. And as we said over and over again, it doesn't stop a carbon pipeline project. It simply allows for landowners to be at the table, to be a part of the conversation, to have the ability to say yes or no, thank you. Because unlike other pipelines like oil or projects like natural gas or electricity or water, this was a Green New Deal project that only benefited a private company and its benefactors and their donors. So there was no public use to this. And we simply, in South Dakota, wanted the ability to opt in or to opt out and say, you know, they make corners and pipelines for a reason, respectfully go around. So HB 1052, of course, passed. It was the mandate by the people of South Dakota. And Senator Mark Lobke said in a press release, as legislators, we are called to listen and deliver to our constituents. And HB 1052 does exactly that. The grassroots citizens advocated tirelessly for these protections and the legislative body delivered. I want to thank everyone for their engagement in the process and congratulate the people of South Dakota on this monumental victory. HB 1052 will officially be added to the Chapter 49-7 in codified law as of July 1st, 2025. So I want to congratulate my friends and now dear family in the state of South Dakota for this monumental achievement. Of course, we will continue to be diligent and watchful. You guys know that several delegations of us have now gone to Washington, D.C. I was just on a trip myself alongside Speaker of the House, John Hansen, Speaker Pro Tem Carla Lambs, Senator Mark Lobke, and Representative Liz May. We were concerned about the big, beautiful bill, which at recording time, we are seeing some signals from Senator Thune that there may be some agreements on that bill to get it passed in time for their Independence Day deadline. So more updates on that later. But it's interesting to note when we were there in Washington, D.C., there were three reasons that we were there. Number one, we were increasingly concerned that on the House version of the Big Beautiful Bill, there was a piece about giving federal eminent domain authority to the federal government in regards to specifically carbon pipelines, which would have negated our HB 1052 bill. We also were concerned about a pay-to-play scheme, which if you had $10 million for your project, you could fast-pass the permitting process, bypass all of the local input, all of the local and state requirements, and just get your project crammed through on the citizens. That got reduced to just natural gas at this point. And then the third piece that we were concerned about was that 45Q tax credit, which when we were in Washington, D.C., it's notable that we were told that the carbon pipeline eminent domain piece would not be added back into the bill. And of course, again, we're seeing what the Senate will do. We will see what plays out here in the next couple of days. But we were also very concerned about the fact that there didn't seem to be much will to get rid of those 45Q tax credits, which of course fund carbon pipelines. So instead of getting rid of it, we see that the payment is being increased. And so we're deeply concerned. And I would encourage you guys to continue to reach out to your congressmen and women and express to them your disdain and disgust and concerns with the 45Q tax credits, especially as it relates to not only funding a Green New Deal scam, but number two, as it relates to fiscal responsibility and a bloated federal government that's increasing our national debt by the minute. We simply cannot afford to fund this. And so that would be my call to action for all of you.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract. BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services.
I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at CK6Consulting.com and CK6Source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
But the other thing that stuck out to me in a positive way was that many of these congressmen that we visited with while we were in Pierre had heard of our little old bill, HB 1052, including Chip Roy, who was recently in the news stating that he was a no on the big, beautiful bill. And one of the reasons he told us while we were in his office is because of that piece related to carbon pipelines and the 45Q tax credit. So I want to thank Chip Roy of Texas for his support. And again, I want to continue to encourage you all to reach out to your congressmen and women with your concerns as well. We have many other things to talk about on the show today. And one of the things I wanted to discuss with all of you is just talking about this eminent domain piece. There was a politician in South Dakota yesterday who had endorsed a different governor candidate who had called us whiners and not winners. And he basically said that people like me and you who genuinely care about our God-given constitutionally protected private property rights, which we shouldn't have to negotiate on because they are inherently ours. If we stand up for ourselves, if we advocate for our interests as individuals in the United States of America today, then we are against projects, that we are on a dismal path, that nothing good can happen moving forward. And what it's translated to is nothing good can happen for the corporate donor class. But he's willing to sell us down the river and sacrifice the family farms and ranches who built and feed this country in favor of big projects deemed worthy by the donor class, by the economic development branch, and by the power players in the establishment regime at state and federal levels. So today I want to talk a little bit about the U.S. Constitution and how it protects private property rights, primarily through the Fifth Amendment. So the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution reads, "Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation." So what exactly does that mean? You know, there's been a lot of discussion about what public use is. What is an appropriate taking by the federal government or your local or state governments for public use? One of the biggest, as I kind of research this discussion, it really talks about is the use of eminent domain fair. And we know that eminent domain can be used when the government wants to put in things like a railroad or a highway, a water line, electricity lines. The discussion is getting quite murky when we start talking about carbon pipelines, data centers, public affordable housing, and on the list goes. And so when is enough too much? That is the question that we are asking. That's the question that I've been paying close attention to. And that, if you've noticed, has been kind of the theme of the Heart of Rural America podcast, kind of by accident, because my career for the last 20 years has been spent fighting extremists, both animal rights activists and climate change extremists, who really, I thought, were fighting two different battles. One, you know, really claimed to care about animals and animal welfare. One claims to really care about the environment, but the devil's in the details. And what I've concluded is animal rights activists and climate change activists do not care about the things that they perpetuate that they care about and that they raise money on and that they focus all of their marketing on. Instead, it boils down to one thing, my friends, your private property, your ability to own and manage your own land and livestock and property as you see fit. And slowly, we are like the frogs in the boiling water, where we don't notice the water is getting hotter and hotter by the day until it's too late and we're boiled. Same goes for our private property rights. If we don't inherently understand what our God-given constitutionally protected private property rights are, how can we fight and advocate to protect that property. I've constantly said, you guys have heard it on the show before, where I've said, you know, it really boils down to, in a lot of these situations, a land grab. He who controls the land controls the food, and who controls the food controls the people. Now, of course, in South Dakota, we have been in a private property rights battle against a carbon sequestration pipeline. But I'm hearing from people all over the country dealing with the same thing. Of course, we had Charles and Heather Maud, a family on the land in Western South Dakota who is fighting their own federal government as it relates to a fence line dispute that they weren't even allowed to resolve before they were facing criminal charges and jail time. I have friends in New Mexico that are fighting the seizure of their historic ranches for big, big projects coming in. I have friends in Louisiana that are also facing carbon sequestration pipeline battles. And next week on the show, I'm going to be talking to a lawyer who is defending a 175-year-old farm in New Jersey as a township, Cranberry Township, seeks to use eminent domain to seize this historic farmland for an affordable housing project. And so it's interesting, as I read through some of the headlines, these are just a few examples of what I'm talking about. I see one. Here's one in Fox News. We're going to fight. Colorado woman says she went to war when county tried to claim her private property. Here's another one. The battle against federal ownership of New Mexico public lands continues. Here's one. A homeowner dubbed Wicked Witch of the West for protecting her property rights. Here's another one. A wall, a war vet, and a fight for land. One family's 50-year battle continues. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, as people who, by the way, are honest, hardworking Americans paying their taxes, being a part of their communities, are being bullied, litigated, and lobbied to have their own interests stripped from underneath them, their own American dreams taken away from them. And so today I wanted to do a little bit of education. There's a lot going on in regards to your private property rights today, and that's going to be the theme for some upcoming episodes. But I have a little homework for you guys this week as it relates to this topic.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60 plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKEY to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
Number one, I really think it's important that you guys research a court case. That court case is called Kelo versus the City of New London. On June 23rd of 2005, the Supreme Court ruled in the controversial landmark case of London versus Kelo. By a 5-4 majority, it affirmed the city's right to seize private land as part of an economic development plan, a redefinition of the takings clause of the Fifth Amendment. Again, the takings clause states that private property shall shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. But what constitutes public use? Before Kelo, this process of eminent domain had been limited to direct government ownership, excluding property transfers to private corporations. With Kelo, the question of whether economic gain resulting from a taking for corporate interests constituted public use, and that finally came under Supreme Court scrutiny. So a little homework for you guys. You need to learn about this case. And one really basic way that you can learn about this case is through a movie that is on Amazon called Little Pink House. So kind of just a short description of it is a woman fights a group trying to evict her whole neighborhood and give it to a corporation. In a close decision, the Supreme Court favors the eviction. Now get this. They took this woman and her neighbors out of their homes. This woman who fought so hard, who made national news as she just fought to protect her little pink house. And get this. The corporation never actually built anything on the site of her demolished home. So that movie is Little Pink House. I encourage all of you guys to go watch it, learn up on this court case, and educate yourself on how the use of eminent domain has become twisted over time. So that's an important piece that I'd like you to research. There's also a movie called Up. Have you guys heard of it? So if you're a parent, you've likely seen the Pixar movie Up, which features a house threatened by eminent domain. But the movie does not use eminent domain in the title or in the movie at all. The movie is actually about this elderly gentleman. He's living in the middle of a town and there's construction and things happening all around him. And absolutely no offer is worth him moving from that home. That home where he had been married to the love of his life. His wife had passed away. And this 78-year-old man refuses to sell his home because some things are worth more than money. And so it sparks a conversation. You know, if you're a parent, again, your kids are going to like the movie. It's cute and adorable. His home ends up getting picked up. Or he moves it with balloons and ends up on this island. And it's just a really cute, heartwarming story. But a deeper dive into this really begs the question, when is the use of eminent domain appropriate? And do we need to look at some guardrails to keep people's American dreams alive, which includes private property ownership? So folks, we've covered a lot on this show. There's a lot going on as it regards to your private property rights, your land, the things that you have worked so hard for to build and create and grow. And the message and the moral of this story is we get the government we show up for and fight for. We get the government that we participate in. So if you feel called on this week as we celebrate our Independence Day to get involved, I encourage you to step into the arena, to step into hard places, to do things you have never done before, to stand up even if your voice shakes. I can tell you, I speak all across the country. I do about 50 speeches a year at agricultural conferences. I fight for family farms and ranches every single day. It's my passion. It's my purpose. I feel like it's where God called me to be because with faith and with family and with a focus on freedom, I truly believe we can build a great nation built on moral values and doing what is right and good, not only for our businesses, for the people that we want to serve as well. And when good people stay on the land, we are a free and fed nation. So this is my passion and my purpose. And everywhere I go, I tell people, this pipeline fight, when it came to my backyard and when it was going to go within a half mile of where my kids sleep, I was a mama bear that said, not where my kids sleep, not in my backyard, not where it impacts my family, my friends, my loved ones, and the community that I care about. We should have a say. At that point in my life, I had never testified on a bill. I had never spoke at a political rally. I had never faced a $10 billion giant who had all the political players in place, including the governor. I had never done any of that before. We did it. We did it scared. We did it without knowing what we were doing, but we showed up. We told the truth. We fought for what was right. We took many hard losses along the way, but in the end, we We defeated a bad bill. We replaced a good bill. We got rid of bad legislators and replaced them with good legislators. We had the South Dakota Supreme Court side with us on what a common carrier was. And we had the Public Utilities Commission deny 3 applications for carbon sequestration pipelines. The winnings have been hard fought and won for, but the result has been worth it because now our kids and our grandkids have a hope of being able to be on the land, to build these businesses, to be a part of generational traditions in agriculture without the encroachment of private corporations seizing and taking what's not theirs for economic development that is spurred on and subsidized by the tax-paying citizens. Get involved. That's my message. If you want to celebrate this week with fireworks and s'mores and hot dogs on the grill and pool parties and being on the beach and going on the boat and doing all the fun things that we love to do this week, don't forget the price that has been paid by so many who have sacrificed everything to keep us free. And as the saying goes, may we be citizens worthy of that sacrifice. And how do we be citizens worthy of that sacrifice? We stand up and we protect and preserve that freedom in the ways that we're able to, which means showing up to our county commission meetings, which means running to be on the school board or the township, which means being active in the city council, showing up to informational meetings, showing up to your state capitol, advocating for good bills and fighting against bad bills, paying attention to how your politicians actually vote versus believing what you see on their TV commercials or their interviews on Fox News, paying attention, holding your elected officials accountable, speaking truth and standing up for what is right and good instead of rolling over and allowing bad ideas, bad principles to take root. That's what it takes to be a free American. That's what's required of every citizen. And I do fear there has been some apathy that has sunk in the last generation that has allowed us to get to this point, this pressure point, where most of us find ourselves where we have no choice but to get involved. But if we don't want this to happen again, we must remain diligent, we must remain observant, and we must prioritize being a part of our communities, our local, state, and federal governments, of activating, of organizing, of sticking together through thick and thin, of being a voice, even if your voice shakes. That is what's required. It is my hope, it is my prayer that you will join me in that effort. I'm so proud of all of the people I'm meeting all across the country as I speak who are doing exactly that. And as July makes way, I just want to let you guys know where I'm going to be speaking because I would love to meet you in person. I would love to hear the battles that you're facing. I don't have all the answers, but I can sure bounce ideas off you, figure out a strategy, and help you to get your community members engaged in the fight. So in July, on July 11th, I'll be headed to Florida for the Farm Bureau Young Farmers and Ranchers Conference in St. Augustine. July 14th, I will be at the South Dakota Stock Growers Association Annual Convention in Rapid City, South Dakota. I will be hosting a panel discussion with our South Dakota legislators on specific bills as it regards to private property rights, property taxes, fake meat bans, branding, you name it. It's going to be cattle related, agriculture related, and property rights related. I will also be doing a keynote speech that evening on the 14th, and we'll have my books for sale as well. And then I'll be headed to Virginia, to the Virginia Beef Cattle University in Blacksburg. That will be on July 21st. We're going to be talking about marketing beef directly to consumers. And of course, if you guys have followed along for any length of time, you know that I'm a partner at Bid on Beef, a new auction platform that sells beef to consumers where they get to buy and set the price just like we do at cattle auctions. I'm also an owner in a new beef brand that sells on the platform called All American Angus Beef. Our next auction sale will be July 8th. So stay tuned, get registered at bidonbeef.com and come take part in our fun and fast-paced auctions where we deliver beef straight to your door. And we'll wrap out the month of July at the South Dakota Summer Spotlight where the kids will be showing their projects. And so it's going to be a full and busy month. And once again, I want to encourage you guys to keep the faith, continue to stand up for what is good and right and true, and what a week it is to be proud to be an American. And may we continue that fervor for this federal republic that we hold so dear. not only this week and not only on July 4th, but on weeks and months to come and years to come. And again, I'll close on this episode of The Heart of Rural America. If you haven't checked out my book yet, Faith, Family, Freedom, it celebrates all that we hold dear. My illustrator, Michelle Weber, and I felt strongly that these values weren't necessarily being taught in our school systems today. And so we created a book that celebrates all that we hold dear. There is pro-life themes in that. There is a thank you to our military men and women and all that they do to sacrifice, and their families too. There is a celebration of parades and all America, just great feelings of who we are as American citizens. And again, this book goes to support the All American Beef Battalion, organization that I hold near and dear to my heart. This episode is dedicated to my dear friend, the late Bill Brody, who established the All American Beef Battalion, a Vietnam veteran, Kansas cowboy who started the battalion to make sure that every man and woman who sacrifices so much to defend our freedom will always feel appreciated. And the best way Bill knew how to thank the troops for their service is with a ribeye steak. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Be sure to like, share, leave me a comment, and subscribe to the show. We'll be back next Wednesday. I'm Amanda Radke for the Heart of Rural America. Take care and God bless.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.